this morning. I'm pumped up, man. To share with you, because Jimmy, now you see why I'm excited that you brought your prayer shawl. Here's what I love about God's Word. I've been pastoring for a long time. I know I don't look like it, but I've been pastoring for a long time. And I've been studying God's Word for a long time. And every once in a while, you know, all of a sudden God just surprises me with something that I didn't know anything about. Not that I know everything, but you know what I'm saying? You read the same verses over and over and over and over and over again, and you just wonder, is there anything? And then all of a sudden, boom, and you go, oh, man. I had one of those oh, mans this week, and I hope you have a oh, man. And if you don't, if you already knew this, and you're saying, thank you, Pastor Kirk, for finally catching up. Can you just kind of like keep that to yourself so I can revel in my, oh, man, and just enjoy it? Okay. I'm not a great Jewish historian or Old Testament theologian, but I think you'll note that even though we'll look at a lot of the New Testament this morning, that most of my texts this year so far have already been from the Old Testament. It's like the Lord is just kind of like digging deep in that. And we've been looking in the book of Deuteronomy at some really different verses that you don't normally think of. And so my question is, that I want to lead off with this morning, is this, is, you know, what can we learn from four little tassels? And I'm so excited that not just a picture up there, but we actually have here a Jewish prayer shawl. And if you'll notice on the ends, you'll notice that on each end there's a long tassel. We're going to talk about those in a minute. But there's four of them. And I've never owned one of these in my life. And to be honest with you, I've never really studied about one in my life. And I never really even took notice, although I've read it over and over again, I never took notice of the tassels. I never thought about the tassels. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I bet you there's other people who probably never thought about the tassels either before. You grow up a Gentile Christian, and you grow up in certain traditions, and you don't even hear about any of this stuff at all. And so you look at it and you go, you know, what can we learn from four little tassels? So I want to look at the first verse, and this is the verse for this morning that we're going to look at. A very simple verse, one verse. And what can we learn from this one verse? Deuteronomy 22:12 says, make tassels on the four corners of your shawl you wear over your clothes. Okay? Well, that's pretty cool. But let's dig into it a little bit. Let's look at the biblical background. This is what is called a tallit. A tallit is a Hebrew prayer shawl. And it's marked by, and I've got to look at the pronunciation here so I don't butcher it, a tzit tzit. A tzit tzit. That's what this is right here. This little tassel is a tzit tzit. I'm pronouncing the best I can. So if I didn't do that right, give me some grace. But that is the phonetic pronunciation in the Hebrew lexicon. Tzit, tzit. It's a specially knotted ritual of fringes and tassels that were attached to the four corners of a prayer shawl and traditionally was woven here with a blue thread. Now, this one doesn't have a blue thread. It's got the blue in the actual prayer shawl. No big deal. Don't get hung up on that, okay? But we look at the biblical background in Numbers 15, 37 to 41. Listen to what it says. It says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the four corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Notice the significance of God instructing them to put these four tassels on this prayer shawl was so that they, every time they looked at it, Every time they looked at this outer garment, that they would remember the commandments of the Lord. And not just remember them, but remember them and do them. James says, don't just be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Because if you just hear the word, it's like someone who looks in the mirror, says, you know, like this morning, I can't remember now whether I comb my hair or not. Thank you. And that you may not follow, listen, not only that you may remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, but also that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined to. Wow. And that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and I am the Lord your God. You know, he says, listen, you'll remember the commandments, and also you remember your tendency, I was going to say a big word there, but I'm going to bring it down, tendency to go the other way. How many of you can recognize your tendency to go the other way? Now, I'm not talking about just dive into sin, but I'm just talking about just your attitude to start drifting, your devotion to the Lord to start drifting, your commitments to spiritual disciplines to start drifting. All the things, you know, I think it was in that great movie with Tom Hanks, he did the t-shirt, it said, Drift Happens, something like that. Drift happens in our lives, doesn't it? For the best and most meaning Christians, the people who are the most committed to the Lord, drift happens. You don't know how many times, you know, if it wasn't for other brothers in Christ and other pastors, man, we got to keep encouraging each other. I'm meeting with our division pastors tonight, and it's important that we get together because we drift, and we need to stoke up the fires in each other and encourage one another unto love and good works and to be faithful to the call that God has given us, because all of us have a tendency to drift. And so God in the Old Testament said, hey, and the Jews still practice it today, put these tassels on the four corners of your garment to remember all the commandments of the Lord, to redo all the commandments of the Lord, to recognize your tendency to drift away from the Lord, to be holy for the Lord your God, that means set apart, to worship only the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Now, it wasn't to be a showy thing, though. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 23. He said, the experts in Moses' teachings and the Pharisees teach with Moses' authority, so be careful to do everything they tell you, but don't follow their example because they don't practice what they preach. They make loads that are hard to carry and lay them on the shoulders of people. However, they are not willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to attract people's attention. They make their headbands or their phylacteries large and their tassels of their shawls long. So every Hebrew was called to put these tassels on his garment, but the scribes and the Pharisees, their tassels were longer and their headband was bigger. You see, have you ever fallen into that? Almost a self-righteous attitude that we can do because, you know, have you ever seen someone who carries a really big Bible? I mean, you know, eventually you get old and you can't carry those anymore. But it's almost like, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was going to college, the people who carried Dake's annotated Bible, they were the most spiritual. It was a three-ring bound Bible, man, that sucker. Remember those, Terry? That thing was, did you carry one? Bless your heart. Hallelujah. He still has it. Those puppies, man, you couldn't, that was not a Bible for your back pocket or any pocket. That thing was huge. And they were all, you always knew a Dake annotated Bible carrier because they were always walking around like this. You know, they could only worship with one hand lifted up because the other hand was on the Dake annotated Bible. God, he said, don't do that. That isn't why he's calling them to do that. It wasn't for a show. It wasn't to make them more holy. They weren't more righteous because they did it. It was a reminder. What was a reminder of? Well, we're still kind of mining the biblical significance. Oh, this is where I had my, oh, wow. Number one, it was a reminder to them of the covenant of God with Israel. God had established his covenant with this small group of people. I think it's in Deuteronomy 7 where he told them, he said, don't think that I have established my covenant with you because you were more holy than anybody else, or because you were greater number or of more might than anyone else, because you're the fewest of people and you're the worst of people. I'm paraphrasing. He said, there's only one reason why I established my covenant with you. I just love you. I just love you. Oh. That's us. He just loves us. And those four dangling tassels reminded them every single day of the covenant that God had made with them just because he loved them. Jimmy, after this, there may be a little run on these things. Number two, it was a daily reminder of the promises of God for Israel. God had spoken promises into their life. He had spoken hope. He had spoken life. He had spoken great deliverance. And every day, those four little tassels reminded them of the very promises and power of God, the promises first of God that were available to them. You know, all of the promises of God have been given to us. It says in the book of 2 Peter that we have overcome and we've become like him through these very great and exceeding precious promises by which we overcome both the flesh and the world. So it was a daily reminder of the promises of God. So I know this is not really the case, but can we just, for sake of illustration, say the covenant of God, the promises of God, and the third then reminded them of the commandments of God. It was only to the nation of Israel, and now only to us by grace through faith, that the word of the living God, written on tables of stone with his own finger, was given. No other nation received the word of God. And so when we talk about being indebted to Israel, we are indebted to them because they were the givers of the word of God to us, the very covenant of God written in stone, but written by the finger and the heart of God. And so, can we say this fourth, third tassel here, the commandments of God. And how many of you know that Psalm says the commandments of God are pure, rejoicing the soul? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. There's nothing sweeter than the commands of God. They're commands of love. We talked about boundaries last week. They keep us in the place where we can find freedom. And finally, the fourth reminder is that it was a daily reminder of the power of God in their lives. Again, in Numbers 15, he says, you need to have these on your garment, so you remember all my commandments and be holy for your God. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And every time he reminds them of that, it was to remind them of the power of God that delivered them. He didn't just deliver them by just the Pharaoh just saying, okay, well, you can go. No. He delivered them by them blessing and giving gold and silver to them as they get out of here, because they knew the hand of God was in judgment against Egypt. And when they went out, when Pharaoh changed his mind and the whole army of Egypt went after them, they walked over the Red Sea in its flood conditions on dry ground. And then when the chariots hit the ground, it turned back into mud, and God overcame the entire army of Pharaoh. And so Moses could sing, as we used to sing back in when I went to college, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. The power of God. No one else was given this wonderful provision of power. Listen, we sang about that. My chains are gone. I've been set free. That's not something you achieve. That's a gift of God's power to you. You have the same power living in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Can you imagine that? Now, some of you have been to Israel and you've seen that empty tomb, what they think is the empty tomb. And you've seen the great stone. You can't move that by yourself. You can't move your sin by yourself. You can't move your sickness by yourself. You can't move your hopelessness by yourself. You can't move anything by yourself. But the power of God can take all of those things in one word, and that word is Jesus, and move everything because his power is yours. The tassel reminds us of the power of God. Now here's where I just had this wonderful, mind-blowing experience. And I'm going to hold the slide because the slide illustrates it. I want to hold it for a moment. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 9, 20 to 22. And I've read this scripture, I've quoted this scripture, I've sung this scripture, and I never got this scripture before until now. And say, thank you, Lord, for bringing our pastor finally up to speed. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I touch his garment, I'll be made well. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Let me put up the slide now and just show you what this slide shows. If you look at this slide closely, this is the only picture I saw that illustrated this, and I really believe this. Look what she's grabbing. She's grabbing the tzit. She's grabbing one of the tassels on the hem of his garment. What was that about? Let me tell you, this woman who had gone to doctors for 12 years, who had spent all of her life savings trying to be made well, could not be made well by anything. Doctors couldn't help her. No one could help her. And she came to Jesus, who she recognized as Messiah. And there around his shoulders was a talion. And she reached out to grab a hold of the symbol, listen to me, of the covenant of God, of the promises of God, of the commandment of God, and of the power of God embodied in that Messiah. What a powerful symbol. Listen to me, dear ones. She didn't just grab his clothes. It says she grabbed the hem. And as I dug into that, Bible scholar after Bible scholar identified that as the tzit. I'd never studied that before. I sang it while Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. Reach out and touch the hem of his garment right now. She grabbed it because she knew what it represented, and she knew that Jesus was the full embodiment of everything. He was the fullness of the Godhead completely. In him was every promise of God. In him was the full power of God. In him was the fulfillment of the commandments of God. And in him was the promise of faith to enter into the covenant of God. And when she did, she was made whole. We were back in the 60s. This is a time when you just kind of get into a pretzel shape and kind of meditate on that. But I was a little kid, so I don't know anything about that. Now, I want to give you four New Testament reminders that we have our own tassels. And it became so evident to me and so just clear to me, and yeah, you've heard this before, and yeah, I've talked about this before, but I'm just going to give you one verse tied to each symbol, and I want to give you something to think about, something maybe a little bit different, something a little bit deeper, something a little bit more turned over to look at, like turning a diamond. First of all, there's the symbol of the cross. We have these four symbols in our four square fellowship: the cross, the dove, the cup, and the crown. Let's look at the first one, the cross. The cross reminds us that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And let me tell you, when we think of that, we tend to think of salvation, don't we? We see the cross, we think of salvation. But I want to just commend to you this first invisible tassel. In the area of deliverance. Because salvation really has more to do about deliverance than it does about just going to heaven. It says we were delivered from a kingdom of darkness and we were transferred into a kingdom of light. That means that Jesus, by force, came in and overcame the enemy. When he said it was finished, it was finished, and he defeated Satan on that cross, and by force now he came and he led captivity captive into his presence, and by force he takes over the power of the enemy and breaks that and brings us into his salvation. Now he doesn't just do that once. He does that all throughout your life. This is the tassel that you need to hold on to. And remember, you need to look at that. You need to say, he's not only my Savior, he's my Savior, and he's my Savior. This is the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 1:8 to 11. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, listen to this, who delivered us from so great a death, salvation, who does deliver us, sanctification, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, redemption, you also helping together in prayer for us that they, thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. If you just stop at going to heaven, you have just stopped too short. The power of God is there to deliver you throughout your entire life. Whatever you face, his power can overcome it. He delivers and sets you free over and over and over again. That sin you're battling with, he wants to set you free. Those thoughts you're battling with, he wants to give you new thoughts. That depression, he wants to lift it and bring you into wholeness. That discouragement, he wants to bring his comfort and encouragement. He wants to save you in the past, he wants to save you in the present, and he's going to save you in the future. He's our Savior. The second tassel is the dove. Jesus Christ is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We need to remember, as he spoke to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was charged with rebuilding the temple. The temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And what once was the great temple of Solomon now was two rounds of rubble. Many Bible believers say there's a couple mountains of rubble there. Because when he spoke to Zerubbabel, he said, grace, grace. And here are these, let's just say, suggest two mountains of rubble that used to be the great temple of Solomon. And the angel came and talked to Zechariah. And he said, do you know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. He answered and said to them, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall be made a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone which shouts of grace, grace to it. Sometimes the very purpose of your life is lost in the rubble of your life. You know what a capstone is, don't you? It's that which marks the building. When Angelus Temple was dedicated in 1923, that capstone still is there. They put that stone on there dedicated to the cause of interdenominational ministry and worldwide evangelism. We have a capstone on our Family Life Center that says, dedicated to families. Church is the family, is for the family. Jerry Lippert said that. We put that as our capstone. The purpose, the grandeur, the beauty was lost in the rubble. And God's saying, let me tell you, by my Spirit, that capstone is going to be restored. The very purpose of your life, although lost maybe in the rubble of your life, is redeemable by the power and presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he'll dig until he finds it, and he'll restore it, and he'll rebuild. Listen, we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. That's our second tassel. The third is our cup. That represents that Jesus is our healer. And I want to say that he's our healer in all things. Not just in some. Well, Kirk, that doesn't make sense. There are some people who are still sick. There are some people I don't see healed. But Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many sins does God forgive? And how many sicknesses does he heal? Does anyone still here struggle with sin today? Well, then is this promise not true? Of course it's true. He forgives all of our sins. How about, does anyone here still suffer from physical needs? Yes. But who's our healer? Jesus. And he heals us of all of our diseases. You see, the promise of healing and the promise of forgiveness is not based on my life. It's based on who he is. Now, I'm going to struggle to some degree with sin until the day I stand in the presence of the Lord, because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And as much as I want to walk in divine health in my life, this body is getting older. And one day, I'll lay this tabernacle aside to be in the presence of the Lord until the day he resurrects this body. So I don't find any lack of In math, the term is congruity, where things fit. There's no incongruity here between the promise of healing and the experience of healing in our lives. We need to reaffirm again that he is our healer. Amen. He is our healer. Finally, the crown, and that is the representative of Jesus Christ as our soon coming King. Peter tells us that we look upon the promises and the day of the Lord is coming, and it will come like a thief in the night. He says the current heavens will pass away with a great noise. All the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. He says, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I want to tell you, this is a promise that brings me great comfort in the world we live in. We see the world moving fast toward an end, don't we? Never before. I remember as a kid, I was sitting around, I was so blessed, on Wednesday night with the Awana kids. The real small one said, come sit with us. I thought, oh, this is cool. So I went over and sat there, and Mitch was sitting there because his grandkids were there. But I just got to sit with the little ones. And so it was Cammie. Cammie started telling me about fire drills. We had fire drill at school. I said, oh, that's really cool. Tell me about it. Oh, she went into great detail about the fire drill at school. Yeah, and then we had a fire drill again. And she told me all about it again. And I wanted to tell her the kind of drills I used to have in school, but I didn't want to scare her. We used to get under the desk in school. And they were nuclear bomb drills. Yeah. Yeah, now think about it. Yeah, my daughter just wisely said, like a desk will protect you. Yeah, I always wondered about that. You know, I was at this little Lutheran school. The desk had no sides. There were four legs, a little top. I was underneath that desk. The nuclear bomb's going off. Yeah, that desk is going to keep me safe. But nonetheless, now, I don't know about you, you know, but I remember getting under there, man. I was looking at my friend going, you know, we were thinking, is the big one coming, you know? We didn't know. I want to tell you, I don't care if the big one's coming, because I know the bigger one's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and I don't care who ends up in office in any country, in our country. I'm praying for the right person, don't get me wrong. But my faith is not dissuaded. My faith is not changed. My faith is not weakened, because I know that Jesus Christ is our soon coming King, and he is coming back. And we don't look to this earth as our end. We look to new heavens and a new earth. He's coming again. All right, worship team, come back up. Now, those are four pretty good tassels, don't you think? Easy to remember, easy to affirm, easy to carry on your heart. I'm going to give this back to Jimmy. Jimmy, come in and take this. Thank you so much, brother, for bringing that to him. Can I just be honest about a little confession here? We're going to do communion a little bit differently. I was going to do it differently anyway, but then we found out that we were short on communion cups. So, we may not have enough cups for everyone here this Sunday. We'll probably have enough wafers for everyone here. But I was going to do this anyway, and this is what I want to do first. And then I'm going to invite you as we close in worship to come to the communion table. But I realize that there are people who need healing here this morning. Physical healing. And the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions. And he bore our sickness upon him. In the literal Hebrew, it doesn't just say sorrows. It says that he bore our sickness upon him. And it says in Matthew 8 that when he was healing people, it was to fulfill the scripture that he himself bore our sicknesses and our diseases. And Peter tells us that by his stripes we are healed. The communion table, dear ones, is a reminder of that provision. When we come to the communion table, it is provision of healing through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And there is grace released in this time. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, as Brian begins to worship, just those who really are saying, I need a physical touch of healing from the Lord this morning, I would just want to ask you to come and line up here in front of the altar. And the rest of you, I want you just to be in worship, sing before the Lord, and just allow those people to come up and then to begin to pray with me for them. And I'm going to distribute communion to them this morning, and then we're going to open it up as we close. But let's just stand. And then if you need a healing touch from God this morning, and you want to come up just up here, and if you need room, just spread out, and let's let God just speak this morning to us as we worship the Lord.
Call on your name, would you make this a place for your glory? your people crying out in desperation. Lord, hear our cry.
As these dear ones partake of this wafer, let the provision of your healing, of the stripes, your body that was whipped and beaten and broken for us, let healing now come from the throne of grace, from your completed work on Calvary, into these physical bodies right now. Whatever the need is right now, Lord, bring that restoration and strength. Lord, we confess right now that you are the Lord who heals us of all our diseases. You forgive us of all of our sins. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, hear our cry. Lord, hear our cry. Lord, heal our land. Breathe life into
as they partake of this cup. Lord, hear the cries of our heart from heaven as we pray over each person standing here this morning. Lord, we don't have any power within us to do anything, but you have all the power to bring healing and miraculous touches to the physical bodies, to the emotional lives of each person standing around this front altar who's come up here just to say, Lord, touch me, heal me. Pour out your life into mine. As they partake of that cup, release that power in and through them, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sing that chorus one more time. Just worship the Lord. Those who are in the front, just lift that chorus before the Lord. Hallelujah.
Open the blind eyes. Open the blind eyes. Unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. We are your people, crying out in desperation.
Hear us,
hallelujah. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Hear us from heaven. Hear us.
Just begin to thank
heaven.
The Lord for what he's doing right now in
hear
your physical body.
Heaven.
Begin to thank
hear
him right now that he is your healer. That he is hearing you from heaven's throne.
Hear us from hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Oh, Lord. Open the blind eyes. Unlock the deaf ears. Come to your people as we draw. We are your people,
let those who are in the front now just slip back to your seats. And what we're going to do with the remainder of this time, we've got one more song to share together. We're going to have a full communion service next Sunday for everyone in the body. And we're going to proclaim that wonderful promise of his death and resurrection and provision over everyone as we gather next Sunday. But now let's just let the word of the Lord be sealed in our hearts as we come before him with this song of praise. And then we'll pray and close. Thank you, Lord.
You surround me, you indwell me, you're beside me, ever present, always near. You're the whisper, calling my name gently, love eternal, reaching to me, jealous for me. I will stay with you forever, arm in arm we'll walk together, you will never let me go. I can't live my life without you, my whole will to live is for you, you awaken me to know. You surround me, you indwell me, you're beside me, ever present, always near. You're the whisper, calling my name gently, love eternal, reaching to me, jealous for me. I will stay with you forever, arm in arm we'll walk together, you will never let me go. And I can't live my life without you, my whole will to live is for you, you awaken me to know.
Came up and she said, the Bible says there's healing in the wings, and another word for those tassels are wings. Let's bring the lights up, Jerry. I just want to pray that you would take that word, that you would think about the cross as your tassel, the cross, the dove, the cup, and the crown, that Jesus is our Savior, that it's not by power or by might, but by His Spirit. That He's our healer, and that He's our soon coming King. And those four reminders would encircle our lives daily, to look down and to count the very covenant, the very promises, the very commandments, and the very power of God given to us. through Jesus Christ our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you take that word and sink that deep into our hearts today. May you let us go forth and experience a wonderful testimony of the healing, release, and power that you've manifested in lives here today. Some, it'll be immediate. Others, they're going to be surprised. Surprise us with your great healing power and grace. And undergird us all with the confidence that we are your people and you are our God. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in the love and in the joy of the Lord this morning. Go knowing that you are his delight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're